today. Are you ready to grow in the Holy Spirit? Are you ready? Come on, you can do better. Are you ready to grow in the Holy Spirit? Are you excited? Got to be excited for both, right? Excited for the Word and excited for worship. Before I get started my message today, I just got to thank somebody here today. Jeff Lee, where are you? Jeff, can you raise your hand? Jeff's my good friend. Thank you for letting me borrow your shirt this morning. I really appreciate that. He let me borrow his shirt, and I look so good in it this morning. Thanks, Jeff. I just really want to appreciate him there. Anyway, today, just kidding around, by the way. He was giving me a hard time for my Ultimate Warrior shirt this morning. Anyway, today, how many are ready for the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit? Are you ready? I mean, are you really ready to learn more about the Holy Spirit? See, we're in the middle of a 3-in-1 series. We call God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We've already spent most of our time talking about God the Father, and now we're in, God the Son. Now we're talking about God the Holy Spirit. And we're in the middle of talking about the Holy Spirit. We've discovered that God has sent His Holy Spirit to guide me and to lead me into all truth, to become my best friend in life. The Holy Spirit should be leading me. I should be communicating and led by the Holy Spirit in every area of my life. And it's this plan all along. God's had a plan all along. He said the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truths that the Father has for us. And today, He's my tutor. But most of all, we're understanding the Holy Spirit is God. And if we can't separate that, we see all through Scripture where all three are present, all three are part of the triune God. They all three have separate functions, but stand alone in functionality, but they work in harmony together, bringing us the multifaceted place of God. Now, what we see happening is this, that many people say, well, I believe in God the Father, I believe in the Son and Jesus, but I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you today, you can't do that. It's either all three are true and relevant for my life, or all three are false and irrelevant. And so either all three are relevant and true to my life, or all three are false and irrelevant. And how many believe they're still true today, and we still need everything the Holy Spirit? Just as I still need salvation today, I still need the Holy Spirit today. Just as I still need the blood of Jesus that happened on the cross is still relevant today for us and for anybody who needs forgiveness of their sins, so is the Holy Spirit still relevant for every believer today. So we're going to grow, and I want you today to take notes, and I hope you're writing down Scripture. I'm going to give you a lot of reference today that you can go back and read, because I don't want to just give you my opinion. You know, far too long, most messages on the Holy Spirit have been taught about opinion. And sometimes we hear certain opinions, and they've shaped us, and they've allowed us to keep the Holy Spirit in a box, or keep the Holy Spirit away from us because someone told us their opinion was, that's not for today, be careful of that, don't go around churches to talk about that, don't go around people who do that. And so we don't have to be fearful of anything that the Bible has for us. We don't have to be fearful of anything that God has given us, especially when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, but it's important we know what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. It's important we know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible talks about three types of baptisms in Scripture today. And we're going to talk about the first one here in just a minute. The first one is the baptism I want to talk about. Does the Holy Spirit baptize? We're going to answer that question today. Does the Holy Spirit baptize? So when we're talking about the three baptisms, the first baptism we know about and we hear about is the baptism into the body of Christ, the baptism into Jesus. Look what 1 Corinthians says in 12:13. For by one Spirit, okay, talking about the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now, when we see this word into one body in the Bible, we know that we're talking about the church, the followers of Jesus. This is what they're talking about. We're all part of the body of Christ, the church, the followers of Jesus. So by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're Greek, whether you're slaves, whether you're free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so we see this happening here, that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus, into the body of Christ. And so, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us all along, even before we were saved, the Holy Spirit was speaking to us saying, you need God in your life. There's something more, there's something greater out there for you. The Holy Spirit all along will speak to your spirit, even when you don't know it's the Holy Spirit. It's guiding our compass and saying, I've got to find the right path. I'm trying to find it. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us right into Jesus and the Heavenly Father. And many people say, you know, we hear people say, you know, that's why there's people who the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, and they open themselves up to other areas that are not healthy, and they open themselves up and they'll follow the wrong path, saying, well, all paths lead to God. They hear someone say that all God's all love, and all paths lead to God. It's okay how you get there, because all paths lead there. And I would tell you, if that statement is true, then our Heavenly Father was very cruel. If that statement is true, then our Heavenly Father, He's not a good, good Father. Let's take that song and throw it out if that statement is not true. There's not many paths to the Father. Why? Because what a cruel way to treat His Son if there was another way for us to get redeemed. But He chose the only way. It was for Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who was the Lamb of God, perfect, had to give His life, had to shed His blood, that you and I can now walk into remission of our sins. Those sins can now be erased. Those sins can now put us back into right relationship with the Father. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus to the Father. So, but the Holy Spirit's the one that leads us that way. The Holy Spirit's pulling at our heart. And so we've been answered the question, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us before we're Christians and before we give our life to Jesus, how much more does He want to speak to us now? How much more now does He want to lead us and guide us? And we've been looking at it all along. This is a very important part. So the Holy Spirit, it takes me and it introduces me to Jesus, and it baptizes me into the body of Christ. The second baptism, many of you know about, is the baptism of water. Matthew 28:19. Talks about this. He says, we're to go out and we baptize them in the nations. What? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We make disciples of all the nations. We're baptizing them in water. Many people know about baptism, water baptism. That's an important part. But the third one here is the one we're going to spend our time today. And really, many people don't understand this, that there's also a baptism into the Holy Spirit. A baptism into the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Gospels, we find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are what we call the Gospels. They chronicle Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry, some other important things about Jesus we need to know, and the calling of the disciples, His birth. All these things happen in the Gospels, and they chronicle, and they give us an account. They were all written by separate people at separate times, but they all coincide, and they just continue to reinforce the eyewitness accounts of what Jesus said, what He did. And we call them the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first three of those Gospels chronicle really spend most of their time talking about the last year of Jesus' life. And then, of course, the last one, the book of John, it deals with more of the whole 3 years of Jesus' ministry, okay? So the first three deal with the last year mostly, and the last one, the book of John, it deals with pretty much the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And so when you see certain things that line up in all four Gospels, There's not a lot of things that really line up in all four Gospels, the same stories, the same things that happen. But there are certain cornerstones that we see that line up in all four Gospels that really solidify the account. One we know about is the birth of Christ. And it talks about that. All four Gospels talk about the birth of Jesus. They talk about how Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, the chronicle that birthing of Jesus Christ. And so, Christmas story, we have no problem with that. Yeah, we know that, okay? And that's a cornerstone of our Christian faith. It also chronicles the death of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus. All four Gospels talk about the crucifixion and everything that Jesus went through on the road to Calvary to be nailed to the cross. All four Gospels also chronicle and talk about the resurrection of Jesus. Easter Sunday, man. We believe in it. Up from the grave, He arose, man. He's alive. How many of you thank God that He's alive? Yeah, He's alive. And so all four Gospels solidify the birth of Christ. All four Gospels solidify the crucifixion of Christ. All four Gospels talk about the resurrection of Christ. Do you realize there's one more cornerstone that's mentioned in all four Gospels? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can find the baptism of the Holy Spirit talked about in all four Gospels. And so if it's talked about in all four Gospels, why isn't this more of a cornerstone of our life? Just as we put all of our faith into the virgin birth, all our faith into Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and all of our faith that He resurrected from the tomb and He's alive, it should also be a part of the foundation of every believer's life that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for us today. And let's quickly look at this. We'll see it. You'll see that I'm backing up what I'm telling you. We'll see this in all four Gospels, Matthew 3:11. Look what it says in Matthew 3:11. Indeed, talking about John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He who is coming, talking about Jesus, He's so much greater than I am. He says, I'm not even worthy to loosen his shoes. That's what he says. I'm not even worthy to carry those shoes. He goes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? With fire. Matthew says it. Look what Mark says in Mark 1:8. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Look what Luke says in Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandals I can't carry. I'm not even worthy to loosen them up. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. With the Holy Spirit and fire. And then John 1:33 says it again. I don't know him, but he who has sent me to be baptized in water said to me, upon whom you see, this is what John's prophesying, whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, that's important, whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. That's an important part. Remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And shortly after that, he looks up, sees Jesus coming down. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. This is him. And he baptizes him, remember, in water. And then the heavens open up. The Spirit descends upon him like a dove. After he just prophesied about it, he goes, who you see the Spirit descending on? This is the one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So this has always been God's plan, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit would come to us through Jesus. The Holy Spirit introduces me to Jesus, and then Jesus introduces me to the Holy Spirit. It's a pretty cool thing. It's awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is awesome. Jesus brings me the Holy Spirit, and he gives it to me. And this is so cool because what we see here happening, look what it says, whom the Spirit descends is descending upon, okay? Remember, up until this time, the Holy Spirit would descend on certain people. Samson, you know, certain prophets, certain kings. We'd see the Holy Spirit moving on people. Certain people the Holy Spirit would move on. It said the Holy Spirit would move upon them, and they would do something great for God, or they would prophesy about God. They would do this for God. And but what we see happening was this. It was moving them. It was moving them. It was descending on them, moving them, but it was not remaining. And so for the first time now, the Holy Spirit comes. It descends on someone who Jesus, and now it remains. This is so important to you and I, because I think some of us, we don't understand this. The Holy Spirit doesn't just want to descend on you and move you on a one-time service. He doesn't just want to descend on you and move you on a one-time instance. He wants to descend on us, and he wants to remain in us. Look at this. The Holy Spirit wants to fall upon me and remain. The Holy Spirit was to fall upon me and remain here. He doesn't want me just to experience it. And that's why I don't really like it when people are saying, you know what, I've got to go drive 10,000 miles to find the Holy Spirit and for being in that service where the Holy Spirit's poured out upon me. Nothing wrong with taking advantage of those revival services when they're available and you can be there. Not against them. But theologically, let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit wants to be with you every day. The Holy Spirit wants to pour out to you every day. The Holy Spirit wants to remain with you every day. The Holy Spirit wants to revive you and I every single day. He doesn't want to just move us. It's more than just about a feeling. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's more than a feeling. Come on, you can sing it to him. More than a feeling. Come on, you can do it. Break it out right there. I can see you. It's more than a feeling. The Holy Spirit is more than a feeling. Yes, there's good feelings that follow when the Holy Spirit's moving. Sometimes we just say you get those Holy Spirit goosebumps, man. You know, you're worshiping and you feel goosebumps coming up. You feel the power of God surging through the room. Man, there's nothing wrong with feeling that. I love that feeling. I love being in that feeling. I love having that. But the Holy Spirit is so much deeper than a feeling. The Holy Spirit wants to do more than just a feeling. He wants to move and descend, fall upon us, and remain. He wants to remain on us. He wants to remain with us so that he can change our lives, so that he can lead us into all truth. Jesus' last words many times are misinterpreted. Let's look what he says in Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, that word tarry means to wait. He goes, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. See, many people say Jesus' last words are, go and make disciples, go and make disciples, go into all the nations, go into all the world, make disciples. And he did say that. But look what he says here. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. And look what it says now. We see also Acts 1. It's a continuation of this conversation in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. being assembled together with them, it's talking about Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father. You remember what Jesus said about the promise? He goes, my promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He's going to send you a comforter. He's going to send you a guide. He's going to send you a helper. He's been prophesying for 3 years now. Jesus has been prophesying about the Holy Spirit coming to us. The Holy Spirit coming to us. Jesus said it. Jesus prophesied. The Holy Spirit is coming to us. The Holy Spirit's coming to us. Jesus said, now he said, before you go, go and wait. He goes, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And so we see something happening here. He was telling us, yes, I want you to go. You're going to go. You're going to go into all the world. You're going to spread the gospel. You're going to baptize people, man. Go, 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 go. But don't forget, he said, before you go, wait, 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 wait. Wait for what? You're waiting to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Basically, he was saying this, I want you to go, but man, before you go, you got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And see, we want to go. We're ready. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's do this thing. Let's get out of here. Let's go, go, go. But that's important. We got to go. Okay. Sometimes we just got to get off our seat and go. That's important. But we got to be empowered. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This has been God's plan all along, that he would empower us by the Holy Spirit. Then we go. And see, in Acts 2:37 and 38, we see the pattern continue to show up here. Now, when they heard this, now, Peter was, remember all that happened before this, Peter is prophesying on the day of Pentecost. He's preaching. The Holy Spirit's fallen in the upper room. Now they're out there speaking all these different languages, and they're hearing their own language spoken by somebody who didn't know their own language 5 minutes before. Now they know their language, and they're speaking the praises of God through other tongues and other languages that's coming out. And they're like, what is this? And Peter preaches this great message, and then Peter lays it out for them. What's he say? When they heard this, they cut to the heart, and they said to Peter, and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're like, what do we do? We want to be a part of this. They didn't know, should I ask to be saved? Should I ask to be a Christ follower? Do I ask? They didn't even know what to ask for. But you see the hunger. They're like, we want it. How do we get it? Look what he says. Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see the pattern. I give my life to Jesus. I make a public confession of my faith through water baptism, and then they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All three baptisms line up right here. The baptism into the body of Christ, water baptism, making a public declaration, and then the Holy Spirit baptism. All three baptisms are right there for all of us. This is what the pattern was set up. This is what God always intended, that we would follow this pattern. It's the pattern he set up for every believer. Acts 8:14. Look what it says here. Another account, another day, another story. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. So now word's traveling. So they sent out the missionaries. Pete, John, go down to Samaria and make sure that they understand what's happening here. Give my first-hand account of what's going on. So Peter and John, they show up there. When they arrived, they prayed for new believers there that they might what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Another whole difference. Okay, this is not the upper room. This is another region. This is another place. The Holy Spirit comes. They get there. Hey, we've been baptized in John's gospel, but you know what John's telling us about? He says, that's good, but come on, you got to receive the Holy Spirit. And he laid hands, and then they received the Holy Spirit. This pattern is found all through Scripture. It's for us. I'm telling you today, if you don't get this, you got to see it. Acts 19, look what it says here. Another story, another time. When Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, this is what he says, hey, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked them, he says, so what baptism did you receive then? And they said, John the Baptist. We heard about John the Baptist baptizing in Jesus' name. That's what they replied. See, for many of us here, look what it says here. That Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that his name was Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, they what? The Holy Spirit came upon them. Then they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. I mean, are you seeing what happened here? This is really cool. They get down there and they're like, hey, you're believers? Yeah, we're believers. He goes, well, what gospel did you believe? Oh, we believe what John told us, that the Messiah was coming. And so basically Paul has to break it down. He's like, listen, all right. Yeah, he was the Messiah. And now we baptize you in Jesus' name. And he didn't just do that. He also gave us a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he baptizes them in Jesus' name, lays hands on them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing the pattern? Separate time, another event, always happening. It's always happening. It's always happening. See, these things bear witness to us to learn from today. 1 John 5, 7, and 8 talks about there's three that bear witness in heaven. Who are they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The Word is Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus was the Word. So when it's referring to the Word, it's talking about the living Word, Jesus. So Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three of these bear witness in heaven. And, see, it's a good one. And, everybody say and. Not just in heaven, but the three that bear witness here on earth. That's where we're at right now, okay? If you're living, you're here on earth. The three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. What's that symbol? The Spirit means the Holy Spirit. The water means water baptism. And the blood means what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. All three bear witness here on earth. So why only experience the blood of Jesus in my relationship with Jesus? Hey, I believe in the blood that happened on the cross, that Jesus died. His blood was shed for forgiveness of my sins. I accept that. I believe in water baptism. I've been water baptized as a public confession of my faith. And then I'm missing that third witness if I have not yet received the Spirit of the Lord. It's important. It's a part of every believer. We have been given the Holy Spirit for our lives. He wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. So the question today is this. Why would I only want two out of the three baptisms? I mean, come on. When you get ready to go and open up your Christmas presents on Christmas morning, you're not going to, if you have three presents under the tree, you're not going to open up two and leave the other one there. I think I'll leave it there for a couple years and come back in a couple Christmas and open it. No, you're going to open up all three, right? You want all three of those gifts. You know, we don't have that problem. Why would I not want to open up the gift that God's given me of the Holy Spirit? I believe I've opened up the other two, then I need to open up the third one as well. I need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. Have you ever felt stuck in your Christian walk? Anyone here ever feel like you're stuck at times? Man, if you're feeling stuck in your Christian walk, man, I'm suffering with this addiction in my life. I'm suffering with this bad habit in my life. I'm suffering with this problem in my life. I'm suffering with depression in my life. I'm suffering with something I'm stuck in, unforgiveness, whatever it is, fear, something I'm stuck in. I just can't get past. Pastor, I've been stuck here a long time. I just say maybe it's because we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to empower us. You see, because you need the Holy Spirit to empower you. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers me to break free from the things I can't break on my own. But the good news is this. We've got the power. We've got the Spirit of God there who wants to empower us to break anything, any stronghold in our life can and will be broken if you'll just apply the power of the Holy Spirit to it. I've got to yield to that. God, I'm going to yield my life to the Holy Spirit. I want your baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want it to drench me. I want it to fill me. I want it to come out of me. I want everything the Holy Spirit has for me. Not one time, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of the week. And when I'm learning to be empowered by that, then it springs me past those areas of my life that I'm holding back. It allows me to break through the barriers. It allows me to let loose of the chains. It allows me to go over the walls that Satan has set for me and say, no, 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 you have no hold on my life. You have no hold on my marriage. You have no hold on my family. You have no hold on my health. You have no hold. Why? Because I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is what takes me beyond those barriers of my life. If you're not operating in the Holy Spirit, you're walking with your tank half empty. I'm telling you,
You got to have a full tank. And that comes when you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up. Walking this thing out. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid or fearful of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry that somebody has taught you that. Some people here, you've been taught to be careful, stay away. You know, listen, if God's got it for me, it's good for me. If God gave it to me, it's good for me. If God gave it to us as a gift, it is good for us. He says it is to your advantage. It's our advantage. So no wonder Satan wants to make us fearful of something that would be our advantage. No wonder Satan wants to get the church divided on the Holy Spirit. No matter, Satan will use some crazy people out there that have misinterpreted the gospel and taken signs, sitting on the street corner, beating people in the head with a big thick Bible and telling you, don't you wear those shorts, don't you wear those pants, all these things going after you and talking about this. That's just Satan's way of dividing the church and making us go, well, I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be associated with anything about that. I don't want to be associated with people who talk about that. It makes us fearful. But listen, that's what Satan wants. But when we take it and we use it in the way God intended for it, we take back that power of the Holy Spirit God has always given us, and we walk out our life and we become a witness to Him that no one's ever seen before. We become a witness to Him like we've never experienced before. I can't do it on my own. I'm not good enough. On your own, you're not good enough. None of us are on our own. But man, when the Holy Spirit takes control of your life and you start saying, hey, Holy Spirit, let's roll this morning. Holy Spirit, let's go today. Holy Spirit, lead me today. I'm telling you, you'll experience things that on a whole different level. Look what 1 Corinthians 10 says. We see a pattern, okay? All along through the series, we've been looking at patterns, okay? Patterns set for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 2 talks about this pattern. We'll throw in verse 6 as the end here as well. Paul said, for I don't want you to be ignorant, guys. Listen, don't be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. Now, what is the cloud? He's referring back to the children of Israel. Remember, God sent the cloud, His Spirit, to lead them by cloud by day and what by night? The fire, the pillar of fire by night. So you had a cloud by day and a cloud of fire by night. And it would lead them through the desert. It would lead them out of Pharaoh's bondage. Remember that? Led them across into the desert. Took them to the promised land. And we see this when the pillar of fire was set, the cloud was set on the tent. That was, hey, God wants to meet with you, Moses. Go there. And then when God would set that pillar of fire on the mountain, God wants to speak to me, Moses. I got to go to the mountain to top because God's wanting to speak to me. So it represented God leading them, the Spirit of God. And so he says they all passed through under the cloud. They passed under the cloud, under the Spirit. And then he says they all passed through the sea. They all passed through the sea. What's that symbolize? When we're water baptized, we go under the water and back up, symbolizing we're passing through the person we used to be, and we're walking into the promise of the new person God's created me to be. All things are become old. All things become new. When the children of Israel left, man, they walked across on dry ground. Remember when the Red Sea parted and they walked on the dry ground? That was a great miracle, but it was also symbolic about what God was going to do through us through water baptism. We would pass and leaving our old self, pass through the waters coming out to the promise God called us to. Isn't that cool? And we walked through, we passed through those waters. It was symbolic that we have been set free. Remember, he says, then you're all baptized into Moses. Remember, Moses becomes a type of Jesus. That God said, Moses, I want you to go and set my people free. Moses, I'm sending you as my deliverer. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And so God anointed Moses. God sent Moses to deliver his people out of the slave of bondage, out of the chains, out of Pharaoh's captivity. God set them free. He sent Moses to set them free. He sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to come to earth. Why? To set you and I free. That you and I can be set free. We can walk through the cleansing waters, through the blood of Jesus, and what else? And then now we can walk under the cloud of the Holy Spirit in our life. He says, now these things occurred as what? Examples. To keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. See? On our own, we're not that good. On our own, we let our hearts settle on evil things. On our own, we're pretty selfish people. On our own, we got our own desires. We all struggle with that. We all struggle with that. But see, but when I allow myself to pass under the cloud of the Holy Spirit, and I stay under the cloud of the Holy Spirit, and I've been baptized in Jesus, and I've been baptized in the water, and I'm walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what happens? It reminds me, no. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. My life belongs to the kingdom of God now. I'm his servant. I'm going to love the way he loves. I'm going to act the way he wants me to act. I'm going to be his witness everywhere I go. It's there for us as our pattern, our example. Can we not see? I mean, are you seeing this? All along, God had this plan of the Holy Spirit for our life. You know, as they set up the Old Testament tabernacle, God told Moses, hey, set up the tabernacle. So I'm going to meet you guys there. He goes, my spirit's going to be kept in the holies of holies behind the veil. Only the priests are allowed to go there. But when people come in, they can walk all the way up to the inner court there. You know, they can walk all the way up. But they could not go behind the curtain. Only the priests. But in order to walk in that far, the first thing he did, he said, I want you to set up at the front of the tent. I want you to set up a place for them to sacrifice their lamb. So they would bring their lamb. They would sacrifice it right there as they first walked in to the tabernacle. Blood was shed. I remember what the blood means, right? The blood of the lamb means what? What Jesus did for us on the cross, right? He says, after that blood was shed, he says, then they would have to walk into the next station. The next station, they had to wash their hands. They had a water basin there, and they would pour water over their hands, and they would wash them and clean them, symbolizing why that we were going to be water baptized. And then the next station set up, it says they would go, and they would have their heads anointed with oil. And they would anoint their heads with oil. So in Scripture, we see when people were anointed with oil, that was symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was symbolic of oil. And then they were allowed to go right up to the farthest they could go and enter into what they considered at that point, the presence of God. They couldn't go beyond that. They could go right up to the edge. But the great news is this. See, when Jesus died on the cross, the Scripture says, the veil of the temple was ripped. Released, symbolizing this, that the Holy Spirit now was not kept, but is released. How do we walk in that? We walk in that by sacrifice of the Lamb. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for me. You shed your blood on the cross for me. I accept it. I believe that. I believe in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And I go and I make a public declaration. I am clean. I've been made clean because of what the Lamb did for me. I've been made clean. I've been washed through the water. Water baptism. But yet, many of us, we go to there and then we want to skip right into the presence of God without ever being anointed. Without ever allowing the Holy Spirit to anoint us. See, don't skip. You can't skip, okay? You want to walk in the fullness of the presence of God? Allow yourself to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself, God, I want you to fill me. I want you to drench me. I want you to baptize me in your Holy Spirit so I can walk in the fullness of your presence, so I can walk and discover you in a real way. How many love summer? How many sad summers coming to an end? Anybody sad summers coming to an end? I saw a few sad faces post this week. You know, I love the start of summer. I love it when summer starts. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about remembering when I was a kid. You remember those days when you was a kid that, you know, you're thinking about going swimming. And you couldn't wait for school to be out because when school was out, that means that they were going to open up all the pools in the area. You'd go to the park and go to the pool. Or maybe your parents, if you had a pool, you open it up. You know, and so summer, when school was out, I mean, it symbolized, man, that summer was starting, and pools were opening. And I can remember when school would get out, man, that next weekend we'd go straight to the public pool and all my friends, we'd ride our bikes down there and we would line up around the big pool. We'd line up a whole big line going this way and back this way, back over to the diving board. And man, we would take turns for that first dive of the summer and people would jump, ha! You know, kids doing the best cannonball, their dive, their flip, whatever, and they're just like, yeah! Yes! It was awesome. Why? Because it symbolized something.
School's out. It's summer, summertime. It's summertime. What's that mean? Freedom. No school. No alarm. We're going to have fun this summer. I mean, I love just jumping in that whole freedom, not having a care in the world. Just realizing, oh, man, it's going to be a great summer. We're going to swim all summer. We're going to cook out. We're going to sleep in sleeping bag. We're going to do all this stuff to come along with summertime. It was a great feeling, wasn't it? See, that's the same anticipation I want you to have today when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You say, God, I see freedom. I see freedom, God. I see what this means. This means it's a new season starting in my life. And I want you to be able to jump into the Holy Spirit, man. And say, God, yeah, submerge me. God, baptize me into the waters. God, this is why, because it means there's a new freedom. No longer does the world have a hold of me. No longer does the prince of this world have a hold on me. No longer does depression have a hold on me. No longer does rejection have a hold on me. No longer does my abuse have a hold on me. No longer does my divorce have a hold on me. No longer what somebody said about me has a hold on me. But God, I'm jumping into a new season. No longer does mistake call me back. But God, I'm jumping into a new season. It's a season of saying, God, I'm going into the Holy Spirit. Everything you have for me, and it brings freedom in my life. It empowers me. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many here today say, Pastor, man, I just am so hungry for a fresh feeling of God's Holy Spirit in my life. I'm so hungry for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you just raise your hands. That's me. Man, I want a fresh baptism. I'm going to tell you what. We had the altars jam-packed this morning in the first service. 98% of the people that morning raised their hand. So if you haven't raised your hand yet, you need to get hungry for God. Because I'm telling you, you can't do it alone. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to face some difficult times, but you can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to face some challenges, but you can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can change through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, I'm going to invite you. If you want God to just say, God, we're not going to do anything freaky. All we're going to do is simply come down and worship. And somebody say, God, we want you to fill us with your Holy Spirit today. If that's you, I want to invite you to join me around the front today as we step out and close with this song. Come this morning. Say, I'm just ready for a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in my life.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come from this place and fill the atmosphere.
Scoot in, guys. Make room for those coming in behind. Just scoot on in. Thank you.
God is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come from this place and
if you're ready to be filled, I want you to just raise your hands. Simply just raise your hands. It's a sign of opening up your life to God. Say, God, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I surrender my will to you. And God, I'm just praying today that you fill me with a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Right now, Father, as they're crying out to you, I pray right now, the Father, you allow the Holy Spirit to fall fresh and anew in every believer's life today who's raising their hands right now. Father, I pray that, God, you are filling them fresh and anew. Fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit, God. Right now, we surrender our will to you. We surrender our heart to you. We surrender everything about our life to you. We say, Holy Spirit, saturate us. Baptize us fresh and anew. Holy Spirit, descend upon us and remain. Holy Spirit, descend upon us and remain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, as we sing this chorus, I want you to simply open up your mouth and say, Holy Spirit, I want you in a strong way. Holy Spirit, I want you fresh and anew. Come on, let's make it real. Come on.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, that you gave us your Holy Spirit to our advantage. Thank you, God, that we understand today, God, that the Holy Spirit is relevant for my life today. It's the cornerstone of my relationship with the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. God, thank you. You're allowing fears to drop off. You're allowing fears to go away from our spirits, God. And now, Lord, we say we want all of the Holy Spirit. We want everything the Holy Spirit has for our life. May it change us. May it change us. May it empower us. In Jesus' name. If you receive that word today, can you put your hands together? You got to praise. Can we do that? Come on, let them know. You love them. Hallelujah, Father. Don't leave it here. Don't leave it here. Walk out today knowing the Holy Spirit's remaining with me. It's my job to engage. Holy Spirit, have control in my life today. Holy Spirit, let's roll today. Let's do it, okay? God bless you. We love you guys so, so very much. You guys have a great week. Maybe stop by one of the connection tables, find out about some of these groups starting. You guys have a great rest of your afternoon.